We're going to go to 2 Corinthians first, chapter 5. And this teaching is about the synchronized life. You all probably remember that. If you don't, get a blue book and read it. But I read it last week, and as I read it, I thought, wow, this is really cool. And there's some things in there that I didn't remember that well. Maybe never really knew it that well. I don't know. But I have some quotes from Dr. Werwell, and then we're going to look at some of the verses and some other verses. So it starts off, whatever a person believes is directly reflected in what he confesses. You know, what you really believe is what you confess. What a person confesses in his innermost being is what he brings into manifestation in his life. So if you're manifesting negative things or things that are not good, well, that's what you're believing in the innermost part of your being. If you will confess with your mouth at the same time that you confess in your heart what God's word says, you will have power. And, you know, that's really what it's talking about when it's the synchronized life, that your heart and your mouth are lined up. Your believing and your confession. And certainly your confession affects what you believe or, you know, what's in your heart. The more you confess the positives of God's word, the more they get in there. And I started reading this because, you know, sometimes as believers and because we're human beings are always like this, they're not always diligent or vigilant to think about what they're saying or doing or thinking about all the time. And so sometimes we slack off, and when we do that, we start seeing negatives, or we start thinking negatively, or we get overwhelmed with negativity because of the world around us. And, you know, I just remember when I first got in the Word that it was almost, you know, forbidden to say anything negative. I don't want to say it in a positive way, but I mean, it was like you just got swept up with everybody else. You wanted to be positive, and we saw lots of great things happen because we were confessing God's word, and we took this to heart and really worked at it and believed it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The spiritual reality of our lives is that we are a new creation. That's the truth. That's the spiritual reality. You know, we see a lot of things in the senses world, and they're deceiving sometimes, aren't they? You know, what we see in the senses world is not necessarily what's reality. The spiritual realities count more than the physical realities. We are new creations. You know, even though in the physical realm, as we get older, our bodies deteriorate, we're going to get a brand new body that's going to last forever. What a great thing. That's the real spiritual reality. Not that we're growing older, but that we look forward to the new body. We look forward to eternal life. So what we manifest is dependent upon what we believe in our heart and what we're confessing, and they're all linked together. You know, they're all intertwined. And the more we put God's word into our heart, the more we confess it, the more we're going to manifest the power of God and the positives of God in our life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 16, we're going to begin. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, why did God give us that spirit, and why did he give it to us to be a witness? So that we would know, right? So that we would remember, so that we would have something to refresh ourselves with, to realize that we are his children. And he didn't leave it to chance. He didn't leave it up in the air, you know, wondering. And yet there's a lot of Christians that have no clue, right? They don't know that Spirit is the witness of who they are and what they have. They don't know. They don't even know that they have Holy Spirit, some of them. They don't even understand what it is. They some of them even think they got it, but they can lose it. A lot of them do. You go to some churches and they'll talk about backsliding, I mean, every Sunday. Don't backslide. You know, you'll lose. You have to start all over again. It's like, you know, being in Monopoly and you go to jail. You got to start all over again. So if your confession is that you are an heir, that's great, but we have a witness. Verse 17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that great? Yeah. You know, in Romans, I was talking about before, in chapter 3, it talks about how all men have come up short of the glory of God. You know, all men have come short of the glory of God. They lack. They don't have enough. They're not there, you know. And then it talks about how Jesus Christ came in glory and power. And it says here that we will be glorified together. Wow. Isn't that great? So if our confession is that we're children of God, that we're heirs of the Father, and everything that the Father has is ours. We're his children, right? If we're heirs of God, then everything he has is ours. It belongs to us because we are to confess exactly what the word says. So we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So that means everything that God has promised us is ours. It belongs to us. You know, if you had a rich father and he left you a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and an estate and, you know, a beach house and a house in the mountains, you'd want to use it, wouldn't you? You know, God has given us, we're heirs. And so we should confess that. That should be in our confession. That should be how we think. It's ours. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. You know, our confession is vital to our walk, because it affects our believing. Not only do other people hear what we say when we say it, but we hear it. So it's a double whammy, you know. We think it, we say it, we hear it again. So we should be confessing the positives of God's word, not the negatives of the world. You know, you look in the Bible and you see all the things that people went through, and the people that confessed and believed got through pretty good, didn't they? They survived. They got blessed. And the people that didn't went down the tubes. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and sent his armies in and took away the Jews to Babylon, there was a remnant left behind of people that believed that stayed with Jeremiah. But then there were also people that believed and confessed that went into bondage that actually got exalted and got prospered in every way. Daniel being one of them, right? And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Ezra and Nehemiah. All those guys prospered through the whole thing. Esther, you know, and Mordecai. All those people prospered because they confessed God's word. They look to God, and their confession and their heart and their believing all lined up together. And so God was able to work in their lives. Pretty great. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has made us adequate. He has made us, he has made us so that we can have it. We can get it. We couldn't have done it on our own, but he made us adequate. You know, it's like if you tried to be on a baseball team and you didn't have the abilities, and God gave you the ability. He made you adequate. Who, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of or by his dear Son? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's past tense, isn't it? It's past tense. And I believe that this is a continuous past tense because he's always delivering us from the power of darkness. It doesn't just deliver us once and that's it, but any time it comes up where we're in need, he can deliver us from the power of darkness. And he has put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That means we're not in the kingdom of the devil. You know, the devil reigns on earth as the god of this world, but he has no power over us. Why? Because we've been delivered from his power. So we have power and authority to stand up against him. And that's what we should confess. That's what we should confess. We should never give in. God's word declares that the devil, here's another quote, God's word declares that the devil was and is defeated. And you know, from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:15 on, the devil was defeated because God said so. It said, you know, you shall bruise his heel and he shall crush your head. You know, from that very moment, the devil was defeated. It stipulates that he has no legal rights over us whatsoever. No rights whatsoever to do what he does. Pretty great. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Yeah, that's a pretty great verse. The God of peace. He's a God of peace, and we have his peace. He's given us his peace. All we have to do is put it into our life. When we confess that we have his peace, we confess that he's done what he's done, we should have peace. And it says, "And he shall bruise Satan under our feet," or crush his head, is what it really says. "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you." We have his grace with us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, no matter, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen to us is that we die. And we've already conquered that. In chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 55, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Yeah, because, why? Because death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. It's pretty great. So, you know, if the Lord tarries, yeah, certainly we will die physically, but God says it's being asleep and that he will raise us up again. And if we're fortunate enough to be here when he comes back and we don't have to go through that, then we get changed and we become immortal. You know, just like, what was that stupid movie? The Immortals. Okay. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can say that we're more than conquerors. You know, so why? Why would we confess any less than to say that we're victorious in life? Why would we say any less than we're more than conquerors? Why would we say any less than that, you know, God... nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He never deserts us. It's pretty great. Let's go to 1 John. These are all familiar verses, I'm sure, to everybody. But, you know, these should be our confession. These should be what's in our brain. These are, should be, you know, what we live on, really, right? When you, our physical life, we require, first and foremost, oxygen, right? So you don't stop breathing every day, do you? And you require water, you know, and if you don't have water, you don't, you can last a few days, but not very long. You could last, well, we know you can last at least 40 days without food if you have water. But without water, you can last 2 or 3 days. That's about it. And you need food eventually. You need sustenance. You need to be nurtured so your body has fuel to burn. So you have energy and, you know, you have strength. Well, why would we neglect breathing? Why would we neglect water? Why would we neglect food? Well, why would we neglect spiritual food? Why would we neglect putting the word into our brain, not just daily, but continually? You know, continually we should have the word in our brain, thinking about the promises of God. And every time we deal with any kind of situation, we should remember God's promises. We should confess God's promises. So in chapter 4, verse 4 of 1 John, it says, ye are of God, little children. We're his children, right? Mm-hmm. We're his children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been transferred or translated into the kingdom by his dear son. We're in the kingdom of God. We're citizens and joint citizens with the saints, right? That's what it says in Ephesians. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. You know, sometimes we get blindsided or we get surprised by something negative. And, you know, that happens to us all, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, something breaks or something breaks down or something happens or you get sick or whatever. You know, and you're not necessarily, you didn't see it coming down the road. And well, okay, you got to step back, draw a deep breath and say, okay, God, here I am. What does your word say? And then you got to put God's word in your mind. You got to say, okay, I'm going to overcome this because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. We have to make a habit of confessing God's word in our life. And, you know, I hope it is a habit. But if it's not a habit, it should be a habit. And if it's a habit, it should be a better habit, a stronger habit. You know, because we can always improve, can't we? We can always grow in it. Romans chapter 1, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God is the power of God to those that believe. So we should be confessing God's word because that's our power base. You know, we have God's word. And when we confess it and put it in our heart, it allows us to believe. You have to have something to believe, right? We always believe something, but the question is, are we believing God? You know, and you go through the Bible, and what does God talk about? He talks about believing him, believing his word. That's what he's concerned about. He's not concerned about believing General Motors or, you know, the Constitution, which is a great document, but he's concerned with us believing him. You know, when we believe him, what does it say? Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God, right? We need to make God and Jesus Christ Lord in our life. And if we do, if we're doing that, then we confess what he says. So you must confess that you know the power of God in your life. You must confess what God says in his word, and then God's word becomes a reality in life. See? You must confess it. You must confess it in your brain, and you must confess it in your heart. You get them lined up and you walk out on it. You believe it. You see, that's the synchronized life. That's how we synchronize. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you, also in you that believe. You know, it works in us when we believe it. We have to receive it as the word of God, not as the word of men. You know, when we say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who said that? God. That's who said it. God. God said that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Not Freud. Not, what was the guy, the power of positive thinking? Norman. Yeah, Norman Vincent Peale. What a guy. I actually had an uncle who was, Norman Vincent Peale married him and my aunt. Didn't do me any good, but anyway, it's God's word, you know, when it says that we're joint heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, God's the one that said that. It wasn't Paul that said it. Paul just wrote it down, but God is the one that said it. God's the one that assures us that we are his heirs and joint heirs. That's a great thing. Whenever you dare to confess, this is another one Dr. Wells said, whenever you dare to confess that you are what God's word says you are and act on what God's word teaches, you will find your prayers are answered. Isn't that cool? Psalm 18. You know, a great example of somebody that confessed the word of God was David. You read some of those Psalms and he just confessed what God said. Of course, the greatest example is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always said what God would have him to say. And, you know, he couldn't get talked out of the word, could he? He couldn't get talked out of who he was. The devil tried continually to talk him out of him being the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. He was convinced. He never let go of it. Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Wow, isn't that a cool thing to say? Yeah. You know, that was, you know, he wrote this by revelation, but he lived this. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now, you know, literally, did he do that? I don't know. He may have at a time. You know, he certainly took down Goliath, and he certainly escaped a lot of crazy situations, but it was by God. He confessed that God delivered him. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. That was his confession concerning God. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? You know, God's a rock. He's reliable. He's dependable. He's unmovable. You know, in Malachi he says, I am the Lord God, I change not. He's still reliable. He's still a rock. He's still our fortress. He is still God. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And last week we looked at, you know, gird up the loins of your mind, right? Gird up the loins of your mind and having you wrapped around, the word wrapped around your mind, gird up keeps you strong. And here it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength. He wraps him in strength and maketh my way perfect. You know, if we go in the path that God directs, it's the perfect way to go. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. And we all know the Orientalism to that, but it's, you know, the deer, and it tests the ground with the front feet, and then pulls up the hind legs, you know, where it's tested and strong, and, you know, and that's how we walk and go through life when we follow God's word, right? God tells us where to place our feet, where it's safe and where it's reliable and where it's strong. If you stand upon the word of God and you confess that word, you become what the word of God says. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you stand upon the word of God and you confess what that word, you become what the word of God says. If you don't, you don't. You know, if you don't confess, if you don't stand on God's word and you don't confess God's word in your life, you don't become what God says you are. At least, you know, you don't manifest it. You know, we're sons of God regardless. We're born again. But are we sons of God with power? Are we sons of God that walk with God? Are we sons of God that are delivered from the power of darkness? No. You know, because we get enveloped by the darkness and we get enveloped by the crap of the world. You know, we have to stand on God's word. We have to confess God's word. We have to hold fast to it. We have to have our mind wrapped with the word of God. That's what keeps us strong. Romans chapter 8. You know, I love sometimes, we have some things, but, you know, my wife puts little verses up places, or we have them in frames and stuff. I have stuff on my desk, and it's really great because it reminds me, like, I don't know, we have bunches of them around. There's one over there about fruit, you know, it's in the kitchen, and God blesses our house, and so on and so forth. And man's ways are perfect, whose steps are ordered by the Lord. You know, I have that on my desk. You know, just remembering God, you know, reminders all the time of what God says. You know, it's a great thing to have around. Chapter 8 again, verse 35, it says, what or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, those are all negative things that confront us in life, aren't they? Pressures and distress and persecutions and you know, not having your needs met. All those things we get confronted with through life, don't we? You know, sickness sometimes. But it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted for sheep as the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. We can overcome anything with God. You know, we have to believe that. We have to put it into our brain and we have to believe it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God always loves us, you know, and he wants the best for us. We're his children. So if we're his children, everything he has is ours. Belongs to us. He delivered us from the power of darkness, from the dominion of the devil. He delivered us from the negatives of the world. He paid the price. What a great thing. We all need to learn how to confess. Confess from the heart with your mouth what has been confirmed by God's word. Confess what the Bible, God's word, says you are. Not what you think you are. Not what your friends may say you are. Hold fast to what God says you are. You know, and people will try to, sometimes even believers try to talk you out of the word of God sometimes. You know, you just got to stick with what God says. Doesn't matter who it is. Your friend, your best friend, your brother, it's not just enemies. It's not just people that we know are not going to bless us, but sometimes it's people that we would think would bless us and not lead us wrong. Not because they try to, it's just, you know, the influences of the world sometimes. We got to stand fast on the word. We have to be vigilant. And when somebody does that, you just lovingly say, no, this is what God's word says. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. By his stripes I have been healed. You know, and so on and so forth. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what we have to confess. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, that's how we started out, with a confession and a belief. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is deliverance. You know, here specifically that you get born again, but it's always confession is made unto salvation, deliverance, because that affects your heart. It affects what you believe. Pretty great. We confess, and God gives the salvation. You know, you didn't confess and make the salvation come to pass. You confess and believe, and God's the one that brings the salvation, right? Mm-hmm. The deliverance. Light dispels darkness, and when we have darkness in our life, we must shine the light of God's word on that darkness. The brighter, the more concentrated, the more focused the light, the quicker the deliverance, which could lead us into a whole other teaching, but not today. Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah. The more light you shine on the darkness, the more you dispel the darkness, right? You know, if you're in a totally dark room and you light a match, it dispels the darkness. But you may not be able to see every detail in the room, right? But you'll be able to see enough so you won't stumble and fall. But if you have a big, brand new, strong flashlight, you'll be able to see more, right? And then if you install lights or you open the blinds and let the sunshine in, you can see a lot, and details and little things, and you can clean up the place. You ever try to clean up a room when it's dark? It's impossible because you can't see anything. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all, and in you all, but unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wow, isn't that something? Okay, let's go to chapter 5. It says, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, we get deceived by words. We get deceived by the senses. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, with people that want to take you away from God's word and do things that God's word says not to do, or think negatively, or think according to the senses that is contrary to God's word. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, we've all been in darkness, and we all get in darkness on occasion. Not because we want to or we try to, but, you know, it's out there. And if we're not diligent, you know, there's darkness, right? What's darkness? It's the absence of light. That's all it is. It's the absence of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather reprove them. We're not to fellowship with the works of darkness. We're to reprove them. You know, it's just, remember back in Romans, it talks about how natural man looks for the works of darkness and encourages them. And even tries to think of more stuff that's wrong and finds the truth in unrighteousness rather than righteousness. We're not to do that. We're to look to righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They're unfruitful. But rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, we're to understand what the will of the Lord is, and we're to keep it in our mind and in our life. When it talks about renewing the mind, why is that? We're shining light in, right? We're renewing our mind, and we should confess that. Whatever we renew our minds about, or put the Word of God into our minds to renew it, we should continue to confess it. You know, keep it there. Don't just confess it and then forget about it, or renew your mind and then forget about it. But confess it. Keep confessing it. And it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with your mood. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with believing God's word. So, you know, sometimes, well, I don't feel like putting the word in my brain. Why not? It's the best thing you can do. Let's go to Romans 13. It says in verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that's true, isn't it? Our salvation, our wholeness of the return is nearer than when we first believed. And it's always nearer. Every second it gets nearer. Every day it gets nearer. Every day that passes is one day nearer to the return of Christ. So, it is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And the light is what? God's word, right? Let us put on the armor of light. You know, how do you put on the armor of light? Well, you put the word into your brain, and you confess it. Now, does that mean confessing? Does that mean you always have to say it out loud? No, I mean, you say it in your mind too, right? You say it in your mind. Whenever you're confronted with a situation, you say it in your mind. But it's not a bad thing to say it out loud. It's not a bad thing for you to say it so your ears hear it again and that other people hear it, because it influences them too. It's great. It's great to be positive, but it's greater to be godly. You know, positive is okay. But speaking God's word is better. You know, we confess the truth. We confess God's word. You know, sometimes you can be misleadingly positive, can't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can be dishonest. You know. You know, you break your leg and you say, "My leg's not broken." Well, that's positive, but it's a lie. The truth is, by his stripes I have been healed. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be better. God's going to heal me. You know, then it's up to God to heal you. And that's how he heals you is his business. You know, but we have to be positive, yeah. Positive concerning and in accordance with God's word. That's how we're positive. It's not just positive thinking. It's just not positiveness. It's God's word. It's truth. We speak truth. We confess God's word. And that's what delivers us. That's what brings about the great things. But we have to be diligent with our minds and vigilant. And we have to be positive. Okay? So you confess with your mouth what God says. And you confess what God says you are. And then you'll be what God says you are. Confess what God says you can do, and you'll do what God says you can do. So, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody like to close with prayer? Steve Donald.